The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Craig Burley and Stevie Nicol. We're also joined by the one and only, the beautiful Ian Dark is with us. UEFA have conducted a comprehensive review of VAR during the Euros, and they said they got it 100% right. 51 matches, 276 incidents, 16 calls overturned, 8 calls overturned on the field. They got it spot on, Craig. They said they were brilliant. It's like marking your own test. Yeah, we did it right.
100%. Euros were perfect. Travelling all around Europe, great.
It's all right.
Super expensive for the fans. Everything's perfect. I can't remember all the instances.
Well, I suppose like people would say the Raheem Sterling penalty maybe is one that you would question.
The Sterling penalty. I was thinking
the Mbappe penalty as well.
What one?
The Mbappe penalty as well.
I was thinking about the non-call on Kingsley Coman in the Switzerland game.
Yes, yeah.
Which looked like an absolute penalty to me.
Yes.
And then there was a sending off in the next game, Switzerland Sunday. The Swiss boy got sent off.
Yes.
That was debatable.
Yes.
Could have been a year.
Sorry. Yeah.
Listen, wasn't 100%. But actually, it was, for the most part, I thought it was decent.
Well, this is
the
it. And Ian, you've been one of the most critical people on the panel. Like, you loved VAR to start with, and slowly, it's like almost like a first marriage. It just started to break apart, the two of you.
Quickly.
Has the Euros made you fall back in love with it?
Not fall back in love with it, but the way it operated, I think, and the refereeing generally, was superb at the European Championships. If all refereeing was like that, we wouldn't have any problem. Yeah, there'll always be the odd debating point, and Craig's just listed a few of them there. Denmark will always believe it was never a penalty, and so on. But like that, it's fantastic. And even the VAR, they did it quickly, and they didn't have too much interference. And I thought it was great. The way the referees at the European Championship, they wouldn't stand for any nonsense from the players, any of the play acting. And the response from the players was, well, there's no point going in for the dark arts because the refs aren't buying it. So it's great to watch.
You got to say that the fact that we are searching to come up with things to complain about with the VAR tells you how good it was. To come out and say they were 100% correct is a little stupid, but then their officials, they come out with stuff like that. But the truth is, I thought they were fantastic as well.
Yeah.
And you couldn't actually say they were 100% wrong in the Sterling one, because actually, the way the rules are set up, they were actually correct in that as well. So if you can tinker around with the way that all turned out, then it will be even better.
The hope is then this will set the standard going forward for domestic games. Roberto Rossetti came out and said, what I hope is that this kind of use of this tool can continue all around Europe. We believe that the referees must always be at the centre of the decision and take decisions on the field of play. Minimum interference for maximum benefit. That's kind of what we want. Just kind of a lighter touch with it all. Don't interfere if you don't have to.
You mean common sense?
Well, yeah.
Oh, we'll just get the... I mean, it's not minimum interference. You have to interfere as often as the incidents allow you to. Just get it right.
Right.
For the most. That's all we're asking. I thought the match day one game, I think it was Italy, with a handball set the tone.
Yes.
A handball that wasn't given, that VAR went and looked at and went, OK, his arm was out a little bit, but not much, so they've not given it. So that's given us a good gauge, because it means that that arm's probably going to have to be outstretched now, unnatural. So the players are good with it going forward. I think the Premier League referees will make an absolute dog's dinner of it again next year.
It can't be as bad.
Well,
it can't be as bad.
It seemed to me that Peter Walton, our colleague who seems to have gone on a missing list somewhere, that's another story, used to say to me or us, well, you know, we find it hard to look at the replays and that. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
But actually, some of these dimwits in England, and I'm not painting the brush, them all with that brush, but most of them struggled with the most common sense decisions. Looked at replays and went, oh, nothing to see here. And everybody to a man was sitting scratching the head going, what the hell? I don't see how that's going to change.
See, those are things that you can't legislate for.
Yep.
Right. You know, I was talking about the decision with Sterling where the way the rule was written was that if the referee gives a penalty and it's shown there was contact, regardless of the amount, then VAR couldn't get involved. Those are things that can be changed.
Right.
Unfortunately, the stuff Craig's talking about is unavoidable because it's just somebody who just maybe doesn't understand what they're looking at. So that's the biggest problem.
The thing was, Ian, I suppose, is numbers as well, in the sense that there were 7 people working VAR for the Euros, just 3 for the Premier League. If you're the Premier League, you're the richest league in the world, you want to maintain that brand as being the most exciting and popular league, surely you just spend the money, don't you? Just get the people in the booth saying, right, you're the offside VAR, you're in this, you're on that. If it can work, then why gamble? Why scrimp and save when you don't need to?
Yeah, it's a good point. Certainly money wouldn't be an object for the Premier League to do it with that many officials. Whether they've got that many at the kind of level they want to operate at, that might be another question, because it is just English officials. But generally speaking, I mean, they're talking about now there'll be thicker lines like they've been having in the Netherlands for the offside. That's good news because we don't want people being declared offside because they're wearing size 11 boots instead of size 10, or they had a haircut that day, or their fingernails have grown a bit longer. And it was absolutely farcical at times last season. Particularly, I mean, you might remember the one with Patrick Bamford of Leeds United at Crystal Palace, where he points to where he wants the ball played in. It's played in, he scores. Oh, no, he's offside. Absolutely crazy. So you hope common sense will prevail. You'll hope there'll be a different mentality where the officials will butt out a little bit more and basically only get involved if there's been a serious, underlined 15 times, serious error. We're not there to re-referee the game. And it did feel like that a bit too much in the Premier League last season. Let's hope there is a big improvement this time.
But I think going back to what Stevie was saying, is something they need to look at this. You know, they'll roll out the clear and obvious, right? I know England fans thought, for the most part, that it was a penalty, probably for Sterling. Maybe some of them didn't, but the occasion. But there was contact. But I think you can understand when contact's enough to knock somebody over and when it's just brushing together. And I think if you're not going to reverse a decision because it was brushing together, because you're saying, well, you know, how do I define the contact? That's just stupid. You kind of know.
How does having 7 or 8 people in the booth make it easier?
Well, it just did. It did.
No, because they said
for the Euros it did. Of course it did. We've all sat here and said that it's worked.
Yeah, but that doesn't work because there's 7 or 8 people. No. It worked because there were smarter people.
No.
Yes, just because there's more.
That doesn't make any sense.
Yes, it does.
How does that make sense?
Because there wasn't all.
Because you've got one person on VAR. You're the offside VAR man. All you care about is whether or not he's offside. Good.
Right.
Right. You're the incident man. All you care about is there an incident leading up to the goal?
It's all the tickets. So, and all these things happen at the one time. So that guy's doing that, and then that guy's doing that. And well, hey, by the way, can you do this incident?
What I'm talking about is efficiency. Is efficiency.
Oh, my God. I'll tell you what.
There was a red card. Oh, my God. What's our biggest complaint been about VAR? 2-3 minutes it's taken the Premier League to make a decision. Why is it quick in the Euros? Because everyone was assigned their own job.
That's not because of 7 minutes.
Let me ask you a question.
Of course it is.
It's not.
It is, it is. Right, is he offside? You? No, he isn't. Right, OK.
Let me ask you a question.
Where are you going?
Just because the same group have come out and told us that, oh, we've looked at everyone we did, it's 100%. Are you taking their word that it was far better having 7 people in
you
the booth?
You just sat there and said that you couldn't argue about any of the decisions that we
But that's got nothing to do with how many people made the decision.
Why?
Right, I'm going to ask another point.
Three people can get the decision right.
Because
7 people can get it right, but they can all get it wrong.
Am I talking to a brick wall? Everyone had their defined role.
You've got a
defined role.
Defined role. Honestly, you
I don't understand. Right.
No, you don't.
Because what's the problem here?
What's the difference?
Because it was one incident. And it was quick and it was efficient.
But they're doing one incident at a time, right?
No, the each referee is. Yeah,
yes. There's only one incident.
But there's only one incident that happened.
Yes, but you know how many things you have to look at when say a goal's being scored.
Also, one guy's not good enough to do.
No, it's not.
One guy's not good enough to do the goal line. And this guy's not good enough to do offside. And this guy's not good enough to do
penalties. It's all about making the puzzle work quickly, and that's what they found, wasn't it?
But it's one guy making a decision.
It's not. It's
why do you need three different people?
Because it's quicker.
It's not quicker.
Of course it's quicker.
Why don't we have?
It's not the same guy. It's a different guy.
Let's have four referees on the field at play. Then one can do the offside. One can do the kickoffs. One can do the goal kicks. One can do that.
Oh, I'm refereeing the game. Oh, I can't do the red card.
Can't do the red card.
Ian,
let's get somebody on that can do red cards.
What do you think?
It sounds like you're having a VAR party there. This feeling that, I mean, I'm kind of sympathising a little bit what Stevie's saying. Has anybody said until now that the number of people doing it is the problem? Okay, they got it spot on with seven. So maybe it is seven. But they operated it with three. I don't think that was the problem, really, the numbers. I think it was the mentality that they got wrong, and really, they just weren't as good officials in the Premier League as they were operating in the European Championships. So it was a question of level and competence of the officials concerned.
Right. Anthony Taylor was a Premier League referee at the Euros, right? Say Anthony Taylor was in the VAR. Okay, Anthony, look at the red card. Okay, right. Okay, Anthony, look at the bad tackle. Okay, separate incidents. Looked at that one. Looked at that one. Where's the problem? Why do you need seven people to look at separate incidents at separate times? The reason it was better is because the referees were smarter and made better decisions. Not because there were seven of them, because seven incidents didn't happen at once. Every incident was isolated. And so it doesn't matter how many cooks you have, they have to be good at it. And the English referees, and that's why you're saying, will this be better in the Premier League next year? You're saying that for a reason, because they made an absolute ass of it, right? And so they just have to make better decisions, not more people. Because somebody said to you, oh, there were seven people there, that must mean it's brilliant. No, just make better decisions.
What we got to hope is that...
You're going to get up again, Steve.
That was brilliant.
I never seen you.
Getting angry.
What we got to hope is, we're laughing that they've police themselves basically and said how great they were.
Yeah.
But let's hope, what we need to hope and wish is that the Premier League can look at it and take
and just bring
the right
some
things.
More, just some more
take
operators.
Take the things out it that will make them better.
Why? Because you want to shout at them.
It's fun.
You want to shout at Mike
watching
Riley.
Them, it's fun watching them look at decisions and go, how can they not see that? They're qualified referees.
Just a reminder, plenty of content over on our YouTube channel. Be sure to go to ESPNFC and subscribe.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Paul Pogba has just 12 months left on his contract at Manchester United, and reports have resurfaced about PSG being interested in getting the French international. You take a look at this possible starting 11. I'll tell you what, it's not bad, is it, considering the business that PSG have already made this summer. Wijnaldum, of course, Hakimi, Sergio Ramos and Donnarumma all coming in. Ian, if you're Manchester United, when do you say, right, let's at least get some money for him and let him go? Or do you wait until his contract runs down next summer?
I don't think he's going to go, but you can see why that might be an enticing proposition, because he's never going to be worth this kind of money again. He's had a good European Championships, but bottom line, and we've said it time and again on this programme, it's not an opinion, it's established fact. He's far better in the blue shirt of France than he is usually in the red shirt of Manchester United. He certainly had his moments last year. I remember him coming on and they were on their way out in the Europa League at Milan, and then he changed the game. They brought him on. They played him mostly, you might remember, on the left, not in central midfield, out on the left of a three. That's where he seemed to be most effective as the season wore on last year. So I think if I was Manchester United, I'd look at it and say, has he really come off as a big signing for us? Or do we bite the bullet here and cash in? I think they can cash in. They've already paid up for Sancho. There's talk that they might try and get Leon Goretzka, which seems a bit of a flyer. But I've heard that mentioned from Bayern Munich, because I think his contract is moving towards its end. So he might give them a little bit more drive and dynamism through the midfield, and maybe a few more goals as well. So, I mean, it's not my decision, but you could see it might make sense.
What do you do if you're United?
Well, it's a tough one, because he's the type of player that you're going to need him if you're going to challenge City and Liverpool, if that's in Chelsea, or however it's going to be. He's not delivered over the period of a season for United. There's not like he did for Juventus, there's no doubt about that. But during the course of a season, he's shown he will help out. Now, that's not good enough long term. But if you bin him for some money, then you're going to have to at least bring somebody in, because the other alternatives they have are not good enough. Look, at the end of the day, I think if you've got a long-term view at United, I think you take the money for him, what you can get, and get short of him, to be quite honest with you.
How hard do you push if you're PSG to get him?
If you've got the money, you do it.
Right.
I think it's pretty simple for PSG. I think it's actually pretty simple. If this comes down to Pogba's choice, why would he not take the hands off?
Right.
But United, I'm always saying, you can't keep, or you can't let your best players go if you want to get anywhere.
Right.
I usually say that, but I'm finding it hard to disagree with Craig. You know, you're not 100% sure every time when he steps on the field for United that you're going to get the Pogba that you want and need. And so if somebody's dangling a lot of money, 100 mil, and he could walk at the end of the year, which he probably will, I think you'd have to take it.
From a PSG perspective, if they get him, Ian, obviously we've shown that graphic before, that's quite a formidable 11.
Well, they've got, some people would say, arguably the world's greatest goalkeeper. They voted him the player of the tournament, didn't they, in the European Championships, Donnarumma there in goal. It does look a mighty fine team on paper. There's a few egos to deal with in there, but I think Pochettino can handle that. It'd be interesting to see whether, with a team like that, they could at last deliver the Champions League, because they've been knocking on the door now for, it seems like, the best part of a decade without it actually happening.
I mean, it's getting a bit, it's slightly boring though in terms of this PSG team, because let's be honest, nobody gives a hoot if they win Ligue 1. Nobody's bothered. So it boils down to one competition. At the end of the day, you know, we could sit here and talk about PSG winning every week and we'll be like, okay, next. Then it gets to the Champions League and it's a big deal. So it really only comes to the fore when it's Champions League football. So that's really all you're spending for. And if that's the case, if you're happy with that as an ownership, then go spend and try and get over the line. But it's not really worked for Man City yet.
But if you look at those reinforcements and that possible starting 11, it's the closest they really should be, shouldn't it, to
absolutely
getting it done? Obviously, beating finalists a couple of years ago, but still.
100%. And Craig's 100% right. The only thing that matters to these owners is the Champions League. You know, they could lose all the competitions in France, but if they won the Champions League, nobody would give one iota or care. They couldn't care less. So it's easy for them. If they've got the money and they can do it, then just go ahead and do it. I mean, that side that you put out there, no question, would have to go as favourites.
40 million,
I mean,
they're talking about.
The front six, definitely in the front five. I'm not so sure about Di Maria, but the front five?
Yeah.
My goodness.
Meanwhile, we've discussed it a lot, haven't we, over the last few days, the possibility of Chelsea signing a striker. Erling Haaland, Robert Lewandowski have been mentioned, as has Romelu Lukaku. The reason Lukaku has been mentioned is that we know that Inter are looking for money. Lukaku, of course, would be a big, big transfer for Chelsea, but it would help Inter and their accounts, Ian. Would this be an option you think Chelsea should explore further?
Well, I think Lukaku has grown into a mighty fine striker, hasn't he? I think you saw it again at the European Championships. I think he got 4 goals before Belgium were knocked out. He was arguably their best player. 30 goals in Italy for Inter last season. But the fact is, and he's made this public now, he says he's very happy with where he is at Inter, wants to stay at Inter. So I think it would be the very last resort, even though they've got a bit of a financial crisis, for them to let Lukaku go. But Chelsea have the kind of money it would take. And of course, he was at Chelsea before. You know, he was just really not much more than a kid then, and you know, made no impact. He's gone off and got goals everywhere he's gone since then. And now I think he's beginning to add a little more craft to his game as well. So it would be a great signing. What it says to me also is, I mean, a year ago, they splashed out all this money on Timo Werner, that they're not happy with him. So they're looking for somebody to lead their attack and to deliver the goals that Werner couldn't.
Ian, have you seen anything from Timo Werner that would suggest that maybe it was just his first year, just settling in, that he could turn the corner and put in those sort of performances that he did in the Bundesliga?
Maybe. Maybe he will, because he got plenty of goals in the Bundesliga, and it wasn't an easy year, was it, for anyone to arrive at any new club in any foreign country, because so hard to settle in with all the lockdowns and the COVID situation. So, yeah, there were plenty of excuses. You might be right there, Dan. Second season, he may really come off and start to deliver. And I suppose they kept on picking him, didn't they? Even though he wasn't delivering goals, they kept on picking him. They kept on starting him. And it was his decoy run, really, that helped Havertz got that winning goal in the Champions League final. I don't think he's a bad player, but he just had a bad season. Chelsea just think they can get a bit more with Lukaku, or the likes of a Lukaku or Erling Haaland.
I think if you're Chelsea and you're gung-ho in trying to get Haaland and you don't think you can pull it off this year, but possibly do it in 12 months' time, I think I bide my time and I go out and I maybe buy, you know, I look at a shorter term option who's cheaper.
Right.
You know, I'm not suggesting, but I'm just saying that Tottenham are looking at Danny Ings, who has got a goal every 2 games at Southampton, who can just stick the ball in. But somebody can just stick the ball in the back of the net for you short term.
Right.
And I'll guarantee you off the bench you're starting some goals, and wait and bide your time. Rather than go and splash money on somebody like Lukaku, who's scored a lot of goals, but clearly he's not on their radar as a first-choice striker.
On that point, what do you do with Tammy Abraham? He's been linked to Arsenal recently.
Oh, I think they'll either look to get him out on loan or look to sell him.
Right.
I don't think there's a doubt. That's it.
That's
the. And with with Giroud gone to Milan, I think they'll definitely have to bring somebody in.
Yes.
But I'm saying I think I would be a bit more cautious about going out if I don't get my first choice.
Yeah.
I think I'd be patient.
You've got Chelsea in the position now, will they? When they sign a centre-forward, he has to be a natural finisher.
Yep. Yeah.
That's the one thing they're missing. And as many goals as Lukaku has, he's not a natural finisher. He's been at Chelsea twice before.
How can you have so many goals and not be a natural finisher?
Oh, my goodness. You having a laugh? Have you seen a lot of his goals? They come off his knees.
Oh, no. Stevie, we can't have this conversation every time.
Yeah, we can.
Why not? So, here's the great thing about this guy. Every time he comes back with that nonsense,
right.
I've got something to throw at him.
Okay.
So please explain me the chance he missed
at the
Euros
post.
At the back post.
Oh, that
doesn't count, does it?
Well,
they would still be in the Euros if he'd scored.
Oh, Harry Kane should have scored this, that and the other. It doesn't make him a bad striker, does it?
Yeah, when it matters.
Just a reminder to keep up to date with all the latest transfer news. You can check out Transfer Talk over on the website.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's electricebikes.com.
Olympic soccer continued today. Australia beat Argentina 2-0. 0-0 between Spain and Egypt. I want to talk about Brazil and Germany. Brazil winning 4-2. I don't particularly want to talk about the game, Ian. What I want to talk about is that Richarlison played, scored a hat-trick. How annoyed would you be if you were Everton? Here's a guy that you're paying, what, £90,000 a week, yet he's playing in the Copa America, now he's playing in the Olympics, now he's going to turn up to Everton, well, whenever, going to be knackered. You're getting nothing for your commodity here whatsoever.
Well, burnout and fatigue, I think, is a problem they've got to watch out, because they've crammed all the goals, all the matches into such a short space of time that they do have to watch whether the players suddenly become tired out. And you get less of a product. If I'm Everton, or an Everton fan or the Everton manager, I'm pretty annoyed about this situation. I think there has to be a rule, really, that with the summer tournaments, where there's two more or less clashing, you can only play one or the other, realistically. You can't have a player playing right the way through in both of those tournaments and then trying to get back and go straight into a domestic calendar. So I think there has to be a bit of common sense applied here in defence of the players.
You're paying his wages. If you're getting, it doesn't matter what he wins in the Olympics.
As a player, I was only interested in playing in the European Championships and the World Cup. I want to get out of bed to play in the Olympics. Mm. It's a nonsense. The Olympics is elite-level athletes, track and field and so forth. Clearly, this is not elite-level athletes. This is a reduced squad size for age and some overage players, under 23. I wouldn't be happy if it was my player. I think it's just a nonsense to go and play in it anyway, for the reasons that I just said. But for some reason, every sport now needs to have an Olympic medal attached to it. And, you know, we have enough football going on around the world. Everybody's moaning about schedules. Everybody's moaning about travel. Everybody's moaning about fixtures. The last thing that the real elite-level players need is to go and play with some of these younger ones.
And look at Pedri, for example, taken out of Barcelona's hands. Spain said, no, he is going. You've got no say about this. After playing in the Euros, young player, everyone's excited to see him. He's just going to be shattered.
I'm actually surprised. The two bodies that surprise me are the players' unions and the clubs themselves.
Yeah.
Because if they're just going to allow FIFA, UEFA, whoever, just to walk over the top of them, basically, and do whatever they want, and the players have to do as they say, then it's wrong. And I'm just shocked that it's been so easy for them to just be able to do this type of thing. Again, I'm with everybody else. This is my player. I'm the one that's paying him.
Yeah.
If he's fatigued, injured, you name it, I'm the one that's going to suffer. I'm not letting somebody get away with that. So they have to get together, particularly the clubs and the players' unions, they have to get together and do something about it, make some sort of protest.
Who won the last men's Olympics or women's soccer Olympics?
Was there no Neymar in Brazil?
I don't know, because nobody's really... It's elite-level football. The pinnacle for players is the World Cups, not the Olympics. The Olympics is for your sprinters and all these other athletes that are at the top of the game, not under-23s with a few oldies chucked in. It's embarrassing.
Just a reminder, if you ever miss a show, you can download our daily podcast, which is available over on the website. Plenty of bonus material, including extra time there for you as well. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Haaland, De Bruyne, Stevie and Shepherd's Pie, Shaka and Naps, all great teammates. But what's the perfect teammate for growing your business? Well, that's Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify makes it easy for you to show up exactly the way you want to. customise your online store to your style with gorgeous, flexible templates and powerful tools. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Plus, Shopify's extensive help resources are there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/FC. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/FC now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/FC. That's it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank
New
you.
New Miami
always.
Coach on the.
Hey, do you fancy it, Stevie?
Yeah, I'll do a marathon and get warmed up.
Be sure to stay tuned. Extra Time is next. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you so much, as always, for your tweets. Craig and Stevie here in the studio. Ian with us as well. Isn't it supposed to be good cop, bad cop? Why do you have double grumpy cop with Craig and Stevie constantly competing for top honours? Thank goodness for your sunny disposition, Dan. It's nice.
Well, you're the one that winds us up.
Well, I don't wind you up. I just...
Well, you do. You just all your nonsense, your punter nonsense.
All right, don't start with your grumpy ways. We have only just kicked off Extra Time.
In the strange ways you look at me sometimes.
What, because I try not to laugh at you?
Yeah. Exactly. So don't be blaming us. It's all down to you.
Craig, I would like to have seen you chasing your dog this morning, trying to get him.
I was after about 10 minutes of him going in my neighbour's bushes... And I was going round the house, and every time I would get close to him, he'd sprint off again and just kept doing it, and I just couldn't catch him.
I wish someone was filming that. It had been awesome.
I had a tea time at the golf.
Right.
So it was getting closer and closer, and then he had one of the next-door neighbour's dog's toys in his mouth as well.
Right.
And he was just looking at me, and then I was like, Bentley, stay! And it was 7:30 in the morning, so the neighbours, I think, were not up out the bed. I'm right. Shouting out the house. But I finally got him.
Oh, that's all right. 20 minutes, this was going on for?
A good 15.
Brilliant, Craig.
But I actually got him, I was in the bushes. He was in the bushes, he wouldn't come out, so I went in the bushes.
He didn't need the vets, did he?
And then he was doing something, and I grabbed his back leg, and then that was it.
Oh,
put
man.
Him in his crate.
Stevie, Liverpool have had quite the muted summer transfer so far. What position would you like to see them reinforce to strengthen their Premier League bid, and what player would fit in?
Harry Kane, centre forward.
All right.
That would be nice.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe something in the middle of the park.
Don says he's going to Manchester City.
Well, that'd be perfect. Imagine Liverpool got Harry Kane.
Breaking news, Don.
Ian, is it time for Liverpool to let Jordan Henderson go, or is he too valuable to be sent away? It's, of course, starting contract negotiations at the moment, we're hearing.
Yeah, the contract negotiations have stalled, so that is a bit of a surprise. Of course, he's the wrong side of 30 now. Yeah, it's a brutal old business, but he is a fantastic presence around the camp. He is very much the talisman and torchbearer. They won't want him to go, no.
How do you handle this, Stevie?
Well, if there's one thing we know, the Fenway Group, from the minute they came in, all the finances and everything, all that side of it, they've been absolutely incredible. You know, at one stage, we were worried about what was going to happen to the club with the other American group.
Right.
So they have stabilised Liverpool, they've built the team up, they've given Klopp money when he's needed it. And it's all been done in a business-like manner, and it's not about sentiment. And so, unfortunately, we players, particularly when you hit the 30, particularly when you've been at a club like Liverpool for 10 years or whatever, you kind of think, you don't deserve it, but, you know, sentiment should come into it.
Right.
Well, the Fenway Group, sentiment, as far as the contracts come into it, doesn't exist.
So you say, Henderson, believe. Let him go. Get rid of him now.
And listen, I think, as always, there has to be a little bit of leeway on either side.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is, the Fenway Group have been fantastic the way they've gone about the contracts and the footing they've got Liverpool on. So I have a little bit of leeway, but if he's looking for something ridiculous, then it's not going to happen.
I don't see a scenario where he leaves.
He's still got 2 years left.
Well, because, you know, he's got such a good rapport with everybody there that he's built up himself, because when he went in there, it was like, oh, you know, it's going to be good enough for Liverpool. but he stepped up big time. And, you know, he's had a couple of tips with his manager, but not many. So I don't really see for him where he goes anywhere at this stage of his career better than where he is. So then it would just come down to a few extra thousand here or there.
Yeah.
And I would imagine,
you'd think so,
at this time of a career like his, that it's not really about just the money.
Ian, given that you commentated on many matches throughout the Euros, which young player impressed you the most?
I think no question at all, and this isn't an original pick, Pedri from Spain. I thought there was so much to admire, really, about him, his maturity, his composure on the ball. I mean, you saw it at Barcelona before the Euros, and this is some player. I mean, you wouldn't compare him yet, it's too early, to somebody like a Xabi or Iniesta, but he looks like he might end up in that kind of category.
Ian, which prediction will happen first? Craig's guarantee that Solskjaer will be fired, or Don's done deal that Kane will sign with Manchester City?
Well, I think
Solskjaer will be fired.
I think Don's really is more likely to happen, although Tottenham still say, and Nuno, the new manager, is saying he's going nowhere, he's staying. But of course, it's all a negotiating ploy. I think the real business with that is going to happen when August comes around and we get entitled to the deadline. I mean, Kane's made it pretty clear. I mean, there have been some naive people on social media saying, who says this? It's all made up by journalists. Kane's camp leaked it, and it was never denied. He does want to move. I don't think that will have changed.
What a question this is. Stevie and Ian, what Premier League player today is most like Craig on the field? Ian?
One with no teeth.
Yeah, who's got no teeth?
I was interested when Craig was talking about his dog earlier. He never talked about the bears he has in his garden.
Yeah,
well.
Bears.
Yeah, but I don't chase bears around the garden. I'm not that stupid. I don't chase the bears. I walk inside and put the kettle on.
Well, it wouldn't be a Brazilian.
No.
Well, because if you look at all the Brazilians in the Premier League, they've all got fantastic, shiny, white, big teeth.
They all go to the same dentist as well.
It seems like it.
Yeah.
So,
seems that there's only one
Brazilian
dentist in Liverpool.
Yeah, one dentist gives white. Who do you think, Ian?
Well, a good. I think, you know,
somebody can go box to box.
I hesitate to save his blushes. I'm not going to. But a really good box to box midfield player who might have the odd good goal in him as well. So,
what do you mean the odd good goal?
You can work through the list. Not in the early days at Derby, apparently, though. He can tell you that story.
Oh, I've got a few then for Jimmy. Oh, I've got a few for Jim, actually.
For Stevie, looking at Phil Neville's terrible Inter Miami side losing their sixth game in a row, scoring only once.
Wow.
What would you do to lift a team this bad early in the season? Cancun?
So you try the golf trip. Try the game of golf. Take the boys down the pub.
Yeah.
That doesn't work.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
I mean, listen, there's a... When you're losing that many games, it's not because the players don't get on, or there's not enough water, or, you know. Basically, you've got bad players.
Right.
You know.
Or you're a bad coach.
Listen,
no?
if you're a bad coach and you've got good players, you'll still win games.
Right.
So, listen, it doesn't look good on Neville at all, but the truth is, the players can't be particularly great.
Final question. Does Ian wear shorts in restaurants? Dan, you wouldn't be allowed into 90% of pubs and restaurants here in Ireland wearing shorts.
Oh, yeah, this time of year, I think it's... People wear shorts when it's hot enough in England because, you know what the climate's like here, Dan, and Craig and Stevie do too. So if we get the chance to have a bit of summer, we're going to take advantage for sure.
Thank you, Ian. Oh, good.
Oh, I'm not allowed out.
Oh,
are they allowed out?
You don't want him in shorts.
I don't know.
You don't want him. Have you seen his legs?
Not in great detail.
Oh, my God. You don't want
him. What's wrong with him?
You don't want his... Oh, he's got all kinds of veins sticking out. And...
Yeah, we've all seen your feet, Stevie, to be fair, so maybe you shouldn't be talking...
Well, I don't walk around in bare feet, do
you? You take pictures and put them on Twitter.
Well, that's why, but... No, you don't want to see him in shorts.
No.
No, really?
Oh, my.
Oof. Wow.
They put you off your dinner.
Would you wear shorts?
In what? I do wear shorts occasionally,
to a pub, to a restaurant?
Yeah. Well, not a restaurant.
You're taking that question very seriously, aren't you?
If I was just going for a, if I was going for a pint.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
if I was going for a meal.
Okay. All right, that is it. That
anyway,
brings us to the end.
They're not opening an island yet anyways, you don't have to worry about it.
Well, that's it. That brings us to the end of today's
slightly behind
the show. Month. Thank you very much. ESPN FC back on your screen. So no Stevie though, he's going on holiday. Have a lovely time, Stevie.
Oh, can't you wait.